Thank you, Mark, and beautiful songs singing. Thank you for all those that prayed for me in preparation, getting ready for the week. And if there's time at the end, I'd like to sing 543, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult, if we're able to. Let's turn to Luke 18, and we'll continue on after the parable of the unjust judge. Never give up on praying. Knock. That's also previous. Luke ties things together. And a bit of history in Luke, maybe. I understand he got his writings from Mary. And so a lot of the things, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are similar. And this passage is no exception. It's also found in Matthew and also in Mark. And I understand that from history, Mary passed away 11 years after Jesus was ascended. So in that time somewhere, Luke got this from Mary. But those are all, that's tradition, so that, yeah. Just before we get to reading, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, and like the publican, Lord, just we, as it were, beat on our breast, God, forgive me, a sinner. And we thank you for that. Father, we just realize we're forgiven and through the Lord Jesus. Pray your help, and by your Holy Spirit, we thank you for the freedom we have to read your word, study it, and apply it. Help us to live it. In your power, in Jesus' name, amen. So as we get into the passage, it's also found in Matthew 19. There's and there's other stories like this, but Mark 10 is, these are two similar. Matthew tells us he was a rich guy, very rich. So just to wrap up of where we are going tonight, those that came to Jesus, they want to be touched. These parents, they want their babies touched. They want them prayed for and blessed by Jesus. And then the next part, seems like there's three parts. The middle part kind of breaks in two. The middle part is the wealthy ruler comes to Jesus. Jesus says, come, follow me. The man leaves very sorrowful and refuses to follow Jesus. Then Peter and those, they said, oh, we've listened and we followed. And Jesus promises them rewards. And there's different rewards in Matthew and Mark that come out. And then Jesus knows the future cost and the cost of rescuing us, those who follow him, but we also have been called on to suffer. So that's kind of the wrap up and of the outline. And just like Jesus knew the cost, he knew the wages of sin. It was our sin, it was his death, so that we could have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we get Jesus calls and blesses the little children, and these parents, they're being rebuked by the disciples. And let's get to reading here, verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them, but when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And I'd never seen this or experienced it in this country, but we were in Indonesia getting, I want to say, visa work done, and there's two or three of us couples. And there's another lady there, Indonesian lady, very pregnant. And she asked one of the moms of our group to come over, lay her hands on her tummy of the unborn child, and bless it. Like, just blew me away. And they look at us as white people as being superior. So she wanted some of that superiorness put on her child. So dark people are treated like the underdog. And that's, they wanted that blessing of the whiteness to come on that child. So, But it was an interesting thing. There's a bit of irony here. All, even babies, toddlers, children, none are excluded. And ironically, for us as adults, we need to come as a child. That's kind of a bit of a pun. Anyway, we got to come as a child, and unless we come like childlike faith, and that's pretty difficult for this next story. He couldn't understand that. And if we go back to Luke 17 about offending a child, let's go back to verse 1 and 2. Jesus saying, it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus is talking about little ones in him. Very similar as to this text here. Another way of Luke, again, ties things together in the Gospel of Luke over and over again. So none are excluded, and the disciples are rebuking Jesus, and this is understandable. He's an important man. He can't be bothered with you little ones, but Jesus calls them. And Jesus says, this of such is the kingdom of God. And that's something difficult sometimes for us as an adult to wrap our mind around. And how big is this kingdom of God? I can't even fully fathom it. And it's Jesus said back there again in Luke 17, verse 20, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, well, he's standing right in front of them. Like, well, we say it from after the fact, of course. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation or with show or outward show. Neither shall they say, lo, here or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you or in the midst of you. It's standing right there. Like, and thank you for that verse was read from Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The kingdom of God is in you. Another verse, John 14, Jesus is talking about along that way too. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Are you living in Christ? And Jesus is calling us to do that. So it's invisible, and yet it's very evident. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. To me, this is a life verse. When Diane and I went on our first date, I asked Diane, this is my life verse, and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not things of this world. And if you don't agree with that, this is where our first and last date ends. And Diane totally agreed with that, and here we are, 47 years later. Praise the Lord. So seek first the kingdom of God. And there's an ironic thing about Matthew. Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven, like about 30 sometimes. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven never comes up again in the New Testament, and it's only used in Revelation once, kind of in the same sentence, but not in that phrase. Whereas kingdom of God is like 70 sometimes, and it's all throughout. Like we get Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not food, meat, and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're told that things that the kingdom of God are and what they are not. And Jesus said all these daily things would be added unto you. And about 30 years ago, we went into ministry, And ever since then, we've never bought a car. Yet we've always had a car. We've always had two or three vehicles, in fact. And they've all been given to us, every one of them. And all I had to do was change the ownership and pay for, what do you call it, the safety and the transfer tax. Some of them, and I didn't even have to pay for that because it was family that was exempted for. All our provisions, as me as personally, I remember sitting here in chapel coming home from furlough thinking, there isn't one thing I have on, anything that I own, that I paid for my own money. It's all been provided for. The Lord provided it all. And God wants to do that for you and all of us. He wants us to have living, holy, righteous lives, have His peace and joy. And He's calling us for that. We read this past 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not word, but power. And Paul was referring there to the Corinthians of those that are doing showy things. No, what is the power that Paul's talking about? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hasn't given us the spirit of what? Of fear. The word there is timidity. If you cross-reference that, that goes back to when the disciples were sitting in the ship ready to be capsized, and Jesus was sleeping in the back, and they've had Jesus in the boat. Is He in your boat? If He is, there's no need for fear. There's no need for timidity. But He's given us a spirit of love, a power of love, and a sound mind. That's what God wants us to have. Again, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God is the transformation that's happening because of His death on the cross. That's salvation. Also, this kingdom of God is invisible. One of the notes that Bill McDonald mentioned, it's an invisible right now. And yet, the evidence is very visible. Jesus said to him, John 3:3-5, except, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is something that's the eye of faith. This is childlike faith. It's like you got to step out into the dark, but it's there. God's put His salvation. Jesus is alive. And if you've accepted Him, He's in you. And if you let Him, He'll work through you. So Nicodemus, as an adult and leader of Israel, he had difficulty with this. Well, man, if he had difficulty, what about me? Wow. But John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the children of God. And this is childlike faith. So these parents, they brought their children to be touched and to be blessed. And I got off on a tangent about this word blessed. I got asked, after we were done language school, well, we call it phonetic school, back in about the year 2000, I got asked by another mission in, they had a Chinese conference, to come and do a demonstration of my language skill. So they got me out there, they gave me a bunch of Chinese words, and I had a whiteboard there, and I put all the phonetic sounds on, and then after they gave me the words, there's a bunch, 5 or 10, something like that, then I pronounced them back to them, and they gave me the meanings of them too, and they could realize how close I was to that pronunciation. And I'm just saying this on a side note, if you're interested in translation, there are still tribes out there that don't have the gospel. They don't have an alphabet yet. An alphabet, it's not written down. There's no letter for them yet. So if you're interested in something like that, there's two couples this past month we were praying for. They were trying to get in a village in Indonesia, and the authorities wouldn't let them in. And their language hasn't been written yet. they're waiting to get the gospel, but their village chief, no, he's like a witch doctor, not wanting this at all. He's just opposed to it. So if the Lord's pricking your heart to get going, get going. So, but after these words were done, I got into the word bless recently, and it's like four strokes of the Chinese have these little house kind of funny lines. They're not like letters like we have. And bless is four strokes. And the first one is God with an arrow pointing up with the fraction half kind of into it. And then the next part is together. It's just a line. The next part is a mouth. It means a person, a soul. And the next part is a box with an X through, which means garden. And they're saying in the word Chinese bless, it stands for prosperity. And you see that everywhere on the Chinese New Year. They even put it upside down because they want the blessing on them to come down. Just like we say sometimes horseshoes, they're all cupped up to take blessings. But in short, they want these this blessing to come down, stands for prosperity, and that God, together with a soul, one mouth, in the garden. This letter, this symbol, goes right back to the Garden of Eden. This is where it comes from. And it was just blew me away that they already had that kind of idea way back then. So this the idea of prosperity is not just for material wealth or money, but for God and man to have one relationship in a fruitful garden and a fruitful family and their workplace. So we can bless with our mouth, with our actions, forgiveness, Ephesians 4, that if we go through the chapter, the first three chapters of Ephesians is about the worthiness about God, the last three about our walk. And the Ephesians 4:32 wraps up with, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So it's our words, our actions, it talks about the thief in there, stealing no more, and forgiving. Those are all ways we can bless. And we get into our next part here. We get on to verse 18. Oh, I've just jumped over a piece here. God's blessing in Scripture starts off with the Sabbath, the seventh day. God made it holy. And then in the law, it becomes the Sabbath, the day of rest. It's repeated again in Exodus 16 when manna came down from heaven. What's this manna symbol of? I am the bread of life, Jesus. It's referring to Jesus as the source of life, of eternal life. In Indonesian, we have a word semangat. That's our drive. Is your drive from Jesus, your ambition? And it was also referred to in the prayer meeting past Wednesday, living waters, that water that gives and gives. It's also Psalm 133, how beautiful, what? When brethren dwelt together in unity, all of us, husband, wife, church people here, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's where the blessing of God is, right here. When we dwell together in unity and love. At any rate, Jesus contradicted these disciples and rebuked who were rebuking those that brought the children. And we had this little song, Let the Little Children Come, when we were growing, or had our children. And Steve Green, maybe some of you know it, Let the Little Children Come. We need to allow them and bless them and guide them to the giver of eternal life, and that they can find and see the key to seeing the power of God. And part of the blessing too comes out in the New Testament, eulogize. eulogy, eul, to think kindly of, logi, logos, the word, so kind word of affection. We have it on a funeral. That word is about 44 times in the New Testament, to bless, Matthew 5:44. Who are we to bless? We go through the Beatitudes there. That's being fortunate. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's be happy. All of a sudden it changes in 44. Love your enemies and bless them. Eulogize them. That's a different bless. That's a key to power. When we bless our enemies, it changes things. That's God's power at work in you, loving your enemy. Also, Peter, 1 Peter 5:5-6, all of you be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And also, John 6:37b, Jesus takes in all. And him that cometh to me, Jesus said, John 6:37, the last part of that verse, all, and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. So, children and infants, of such are the kingdom of God. Then we get into the rich, the very rich young man. And this is again also found in Matthew 19:16-30, and Mark 10:17-31. And Jesus is counseling this young guy. And let's read through this story. But there are other similar stories in this. There's a lawyer. Twice we read in the New Testament, as a lawyer comes, but the word there is tempting. It's a different guy. They're tempting Jesus in Matthew 22 and also Luke 10. And then there's another guy that comes and Jesus says to him, Mark 12:27-34. He's a scribe, one that wrote out the Bible. Jesus says, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Those are other stories, but these Matthew 19, Mark 10, they all seem to be the same story as this. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Wow, this guy didn't come to merit eternal life. He somehow knew that. How could I inherit? Now, if you think of a young guy, how did he have all this money? Well, he probably inherited it. And to be young and to have riches, he likely had an inheritance, just like the prodigal son, maybe. But Jesus nails this right on the head. This guy, he's actually disobeying two commandments, the first and the last. But he doesn't come to merit eternal life, and inherit is to obtain or to be an heir to. Jesus takes him to task right away on God. Only God is good. And he directs his attention to God, in who only is ultimate goodness. And only in understanding God as infinitely good can he discover that there's no human goodness that we can do to inherit eternal life. This guy had kept all the law. He says that. In Matthew and Mark, it comes out with different wording, pretty much the same. And Paul had kind of the same testimony. And I've written here, to have treasure in heaven. Is this what we're living for? He couldn't get a higher piety than his life that already had, to kept all the commandments. But he loved things more than God. So the last one is do not covet, and the first one is love the Lord your God. So Jesus says, he nails it right on the head. Just sell it all and share it with the poor. Come follow me. This guy refuses, and he goes away sad. Not only is he sad, Jesus is sad too. Years ago, when I was younger, there was a man, and very wealthy, and he was mentioning he'd like to go into full-time ministry. And Dad and I were on the way home and talking about this, and I said, well, that guy's very wealthy. He has so much money, it'd be very difficult for him to stop working with money because he's so used to that. And ultimately, he was right. The guy did not go into full-time ministry. And whatever decided that, well, it's a number of years later, he passed away. And it's like God had challenged him, and possibly, I read in a commentary one time, one of these guys was Paul. We don't know that for a fact, but later Paul gets on the road to Damascus and gets a reawakening. But at any rate, the Proverbs 19, 17, and numerous times in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, I forget which one it is, at least five times, those that are wealthy are to share their wealth. That's God's law. Proverbs 19, 7, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to who? To the Lord. And that he that which hath given, will he pay him again? So who's going to repay you? God. He does a way better job of paying. Deuteronomy 15, 11, therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy in thy land. That comes out five times or so in, I think it's Deuteronomy. But we were made aware in language school our position of wealth. If you have no mortgage, which we didn't, and you're renting, that's one thing. You are an incredibly high percent of the world's wealthy people. If you have no mortgage and a property, you're in like 3% or something. It's incredibly high. All of us here are pretty wealthy. It's just incredible. And the Lord's calling us to do something. And so this guy goes away very sad, and we'll read on. Verse 24, and when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more. This is talking about how much times we'll get paid more back. And in the age to come, eternal life. I find riches give me a false sense of security, maybe of safety. I can buy all safety equipment, have it all. And it destroys my dependence on God. It destroys my walk with the Spirit, or it can. And a number of years ago, I was convicted of it can cause me to become unfruitful. You can get all the wealth, material wealth, and things that you want, and so much money, you can't even live your life out and spend it all on yourself. Psalm 106 talks about something like this. Verse 15 tells us what happens to people that love and covet this life. It says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Enough is never enough. And I was convicted of the story of the sower and how that there's the hard ground. There's the rocky soil. There's the soil of what, thorns and thistles, and then there's the good ground. Well, my life felt like thorns and thistles, and what's the key to that one? the deceitfulness of riches causes you to be unfruitful. So Matthew, we'll keep on going here. 19, adds a little bit more to this, 28 to 30. Ye that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. So Jesus is talking, there is reward for following Jesus and giving life up. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Mark, he also adds, and sisters, so brothers and sisters that have left brothers and sisters, along with persecution. We may be called on to suffer. We will be called on to suffer just for being a Christian in this country. Mark 10 adds, 43, the last part to 45, but whosoever of you be great among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came, what? Not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Years ago, I heard a speaker say, the pathway of blessing is the pathway of obedience. So in this last portion, we have Jesus predicts his death and the resurrection. We also have that in Matthew 20, verse 17 and 19, and Mark 10, to 32 to 34. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. So Jesus is nearing Palm Sunday, which is today. And he's going up to Jerusalem. We get that in Matthew 21. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They did not know the things which were spoken. And if we go back to Matthew 17, Transfiguration, also Luke, Luke 9, 27 to 36 tells us more. Moses and Elijah appeared, and they saw the glory of Jesus. So all this time, Jesus' glory is veiled. And it gets unveiled there, and these disciples see that. And Moses and Elijah, they talk of what? His upcoming death. Luke tells us this. Then also, our glory right now is veiled. It's coming. So, how much don't I understand? Don't we understand? There's one thing, God is my creator. I grew up in a Christian home. I never understood. So he owns me. I didn't get that. How often don't I struggle to resist like this ruler did? Or do I surrender like the disciples did? Jesus is calling, come and follow him. And how often do I not realize the greatness of God? He created the world from nothing, just by his word. And Job 38, 32 talks about the Nazareth. I looked up the word Nazareth. It's the story of the gospel in the stars. Do we know that story? It was already there in creation. God put it there, the Nazareth. Look it up, Job 38, 32. Or his name, Yahweh. Mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Yahweh is J-H-W-H. J, behold. No, H is behold. J is the hand. W is the nail. Behold the hand, behold the nail. J-H-W-H. That's the Jewish name in Hebrew for Yahweh. Those are the letters. That's what they stand for. It's just so much that we don't fathom. Or the goodness of God. We have air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, and not only life, we also have provision for eternal life, his gift of love, his gift of peace, of joy, all the fruit of the Spirit. How much don't I get? I want to... For my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says in Isaiah 55, 8, 9. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, or my thoughts than your thoughts. And then I want to close with Isaiah 55, verse 1, verse 2. Hearken diligently and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And with that, I'd like to close, if we could sing number 543 in the Red Book. Verse 3, in our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your calling us even today to come and follow you, and help us, Lord, to obey you, and that we can know the pathway of blessing is the pathway of obedience. So Father, help us when we are being belittled or persecuted or even rebuked like these parents were, and to keep coming to Jesus and keep following you. Lord, help us also to, in encouraging one another, in the words we say to each other, in whether in our homes or in our business, in workplace, wherever we may be, even here among each other, that there would be your love, your unity, your graciousness, one for another, right here, and your blessing. Lord, we look to you for that, and we thank you and praise you for your goodness, for the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus. Father, we just stop and in awe of you, of your greatness, of the Lord Jesus, and what you will do in time to come. So we pray your blessing now and parting in Jesus' name. Amen.